that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. A family living in a house caught between the everyday human world and the mysterious, frightening world of supernatural spirits. That's the premise of The Veil, the current production at Paradise's Theater on the Ridge. Today we take you to TOTR to hear from the cast of this unusual ghost story drama by Ireland's leading playwright, Conor McPherson. Also on today's program, we visit the new art gallery in Chico State's just-built Arts and Humanities Building. We'll hear from the curator, Kelly Lindner, and from one of the two artists who are showing their installation, which uses projections to immerse us in an almond grove. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
On stage in Reading at Riverfront Playhouse, in the heat of the night, this gritty and racially charged crime drama plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2. Sunday in Reading at the Cascade Theater, the North State Symphony, under the baton of Maestro Scott Seaton, takes the stage. The concert, Rumba to Ravel, starts at 2 o'clock with the Cuban Overture by Gershwin and concludes with Daphnis et Chloe by Ravel. Then tomorrow evening, the North State Symphony moves to CSU Chico's Laxon Auditorium to perform the same selections starting at 7:30. The Orland Art Center features work by Molly Flack at her exhibit, California, A Celebration. Your final chance to see this collection is tomorrow between 1 and 6. The Blue Room Theater ends its run of The How and the Why. Your final chances to see this topical drama tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. Sunday, opera comes to the big screen in Zing Recital Hall on the Chico State campus with the Grand Opera Cinema Series. You can experience the San Francisco Opera's production of La Boheme starting at 2 o'clock. Monday in Laxon Auditorium at CSU Chico, Bruce Hornsby and the Noisemakers shake up the joint with a fusion of blues and bluegrass starting at 7:30. 1078 Gallery in Chico presents work by Ruben Heredia, displaying four different series of his drawings. View this exhibit today before 5:30, or on the final day of the show tomorrow between 12:30 and 5:30. The James Snidel Gallery showcases painter Dolores Mitchell in an exhibit titled Dreaming of San Francisco, featuring Mitchell's colorful jazz-influenced imagery. Gallery hours, Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4, and Saturday, 9 to 2. Find the Snidel Gallery on 4th Street, across from the Praying Hands by City Hall. The Janet Turner Print Museum is showing prints that have served as inspiration for the university's creative writing students. The exhibit, Visual Metrics, Prints and Poetry, fill the new home of the Turner at the just-built Arts and Humanities Building on 2nd Street. The museum's open 11 to 4, Monday through Saturday. The Chico Art Center has paintings, all just 12 by 12 inches. Enjoy Small World, Small Works, any day next week between noon and 4. Tomorrow, at the Paradise Performing Arts Center, Iris Dement and Loudon Wainwright III perform separately and together, starting at 7:30. In Marysville, the Acting Company brings you Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, this lively rendition of the Bible story, with music by Andrew Lloyd Webber, graces the stage tonight and tomorrow at 8 o'clock and Sunday at 2. Tonight, in Grass Valley, at the Veterans Memorial Auditorium, Mick Fleetwood Blues Band rocks the stage, starting at 8 o'clock. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Born in the USA, and on today's date, Bruce Springsteen believes that the best music is essentially there to provide you something to face the world with.
We're talking with the cast of The Veil at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. Now we're talking with Donna Gavigan Dowsey, who plays Mrs. Golding. She's the housekeeper and nurse of this family. What's that like, immersing yourself in this Irish culture in the mid-19th century?
And that's exactly what you do. You immerse yourself in it. I've gone back and studied the complete 1800s and listened to tons of how to speak Irish on YouTube.
So you're the housekeeper, but you also say you're the second grandmother.
Because I have been there as a housekeeper through the mother, Madeline, and through the daughter, Hannah. And now Hannah's leaving to get married, and I'm going to be the only one left there at Mount Prospect for the new owner. I'm just a fixture.
Do you feel that you're on this entire journey from beginning to end of The Veil?
Yes, and it's kind of hard because it really takes you through all the emotions. When you're living the story, it's pretty traumatic.
The Veil, from this weekend and next weekend at Theater on the Ridge. And now I'm here with Bruce Dillman, who plays Mr. Fingal. Describe your character, Bruce.
Well, I'm the ground person for the estate, this fading Downton Abbey.
It seems like the house in general has this heavy curse on it. What's it like being in a cursed place, this whole play?
You know, if you go to Ireland itself, which I did last year, there's that feeling of oppression that seems to go with Ireland. And so I think it reflects the attitude of the Irish people. There's sort of an ironic, close-to-the-vest humor that everybody has about the situation. It's a bad situation for just about everyone. Everyone has their problems, but they soldier through it. They do it with wit and humor.
Well, like so many characters in this play, you have your own personal curse.
You know, I don't think of the curse so much. I think of my character, Fingal, as despite the fact that he's supposed to be a little tipsy, he's one of the most rational characters in the show. He sees through all the talk of ghosts and has a more realistic outlook than anyone else.
This is such the ensemble play. Everybody gets his or her moment. Do you like sharing the stage with an ensemble?
The ensemble is really great. Joe Hilsey has assembled a really nice cast, and he gave us some really nice direction through the show. Also been a great pleasure to work with his daughter, who is amazing. She's going to be somebody to watch in the Chico area. She goes to Chico State now. You're going to see some great things out of here, I think, in the next couple of years here and maybe elsewhere after that.
We've been talking with Bruce Dillman, who plays Mr. Fingal in The Veil, which is currently at Theater on the Ridge. Here's Nick Anderson, who plays Charles Audell. Your character was a little hard to figure out. He seems like a comic relief kind of person, but he also has some very dark secrets.
He does have his demons. He's been disgraced in the past. You know, he's never lived that down, and he's had a few tragedies in his life that have made him kind of a caustic wit. He knows how to poke fun at himself. Life has not been too particularly kind to him, but you know, he doesn't take that out on the people that he's around. He just kind of has a carefree way because I don't think that he expects much out of life.
It seems like your character Charles is absolutely fascinated with the other side, the side beyond reality. He's into spiritualism.
He's into anything that he doesn't know. He's kind of on an infinite quest for knowledge. And he's seen and heard a few things that, you know, make him believe that there is something else out there. And if you've got a question that you really want answered, you'll go out and look for the answers.
We've been talking with Nick Anderson, who plays Mr. Charles Adell in the production The Veil, currently at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. Now we're talking with Alexandra Hilsey, who plays Hannah Lambroke. Describe how you prepare yourself for such an intense journey.
I guess it all begins with my hair. As my fellow cast members, especially the ladies who also have to maneuver their hair into such intricate little designs, it's really meditative and it helps me calm down, kind of center myself. I know what I have to do and I trust myself. And I just kind of have to keep giving myself some kind of guided meditations or mantras. One I've been like kind of favoring lately is I am capable of my own living. I am capable of my own dying. That kind of helps me for some strange macabre reason to get into the journey.
From the beginning of the play, your character has an anger and intensity.
The exposition of this show goes back to when Hannah was 8 years old and her father commits suicide in front of her. I walk in and I see my father hanging from the mantelpiece.
And this play happens in the very room that that happened.
Oh, yes. This all happens in this tense scene, this room. And it all surfaces from her guilt. It surfaces from my guilt of wondering what it was that caused my father to do this. The script references, I used to take walks with my father. I loved him so dearly. And all of my pain or depression or anxiety is about losing him. And I blame myself and I blame my mother. And I'm angry at her and myself and everyone for not changing what could have been. Hannah is very much a philosopher in the sense that she has a religious facet to her, but she also is kind of nihilistic in the sense that she knows that she hears her father speaking to her from beyond, and she wants more than anything to connect with him and ask him, why you did this? What did I do? What can I do to bring you back to me or get me to join you? I think that's where all the anger harbors, is her frustration from coming into such close contact with him but never fully getting a response.
Well, speaking of fathers, I've got to ask you, what's it like being directed by your father, Joe Hilsey?
Well, this is my second time in my life, believe it or not, being directed by my dad. The first time was seventh grade in Hamlet. But this is my first time in a, you know, semi-professional production being directed by him. Well, he's my mentor. He's my teacher. He's one of my best friends. And we tell each other everything. We like to talk about the play and what we're thinking about, different motivations for certain characters. Me in particular, I like to hash out my own, you know, kind of anxieties.
We've been talking with Alexandra Hilsey, who plays the part of Hannah Lambroke in The Veil at Theater on the Ridge. And now we're talking with the actor playing Lady Madeline Lambroke. That's Hannah's mother. And the actor is Rebecca Lockway. Do you like being an ensemble play?
I cannot say enough how highly I think of my castmates. And the fact that it is an ensemble piece has been such a blessing, because each actor brings so much to their character. The fact that I get to witness that in each player means that I gain that much more understanding, not just of the piece, but really humanity.
Rebecca, describe your character and your character's journey in this play.
I think of my character as a really lonely character. I mean, she's really trapped between two worlds, and she cannot be a member of either, really. There are a lot of references to the fact that she has this second sight, that she communes with spirits and has this supernatural ability, but she wants to deny that. And she has to deny that in order to afford her daughter an opportunity to join a world where there's so much less suffering.
So we're talking about heavy curses and all this foreboding environment. What do you think about this play makes it also an enjoyable experience for the audience?
Well, certainly there are moments of humor, and I think they are made more delicious by their well-timed scarcity. And I think there even is humor or that like glimmer of understanding that you get even in the dark moments of this is what it is to be a person and to wrestle with life's dilemmas.
We've been talking with Rebecca Lackway, who plays Lady Madeline in The Veil, which is currently at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. And now we're talking with Christopher Scott, who plays Reverend Barclay. Well, your character certainly has the gift of gab, as they say in Ireland.
Yes, though he's a defrocked minister, he definitely still sees himself always as on the pulpit and always willing to express lengthy views.
Why do you imagine that he was defrocked?
Well, he becomes too fascinated with the spirit world and the occult. And his beliefs that he is vocal about tend to clash with the church. So this seems to be the reason why he has been removed from the church and defrocked. But he still thinks of himself as a priest and a minister, though he kind of is preaching his own brand of religion here, mixing the spirit world and conventional religion at the same time.
Describe what it's like embodying that kind of wild-eyed intensity toward the spirit world.
Well, it's really been a fun role in a lot of respects, along with doing an Irish accent that I had never gotten to do. But when you think about Burt Lancaster and Elmer Gantry and that kind of preacher role, it's really fun to be able. In fact, I've thought several times I've never been able to be this loud on stage, and I'm often loud. But yes, the enthusiasm you get as a preacher and this almost evangelic belief in the spirit world as he professes is fun to do.
We've been talking with Christopher Scott, who plays Reverend Barclay in The Veil, currently at Theater on the Ridge.
Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm speaking with two people. First of all, Kelly Lindner, the curator of the University Art Gallery on the CSUC campus. She will then introduce one of a team who will be the first exhibitors. Kelly, tell us about this new facility.
We are very excited to open the new Jackie Headley University Art Gallery on the Chico State campus, which is in the new Arts and Humanities building located right on 2nd Street and Salem. What's really exciting about this new building is that it's creating an arts corridor here on campus, where we are actually located and sharing a lobby with the Turner Print Museum and the MFA Gallery.
And it's very much open to the public. It's not just for students.
No, we're really wanting to do a lot of outreach to the community, and sort of being on the edge of campus allows us to do that. There's free and easy access just adjacent to Laxon, so anytime you're coming for a performance there, just come on over.
Will you introduce one of a pair responsible for doing the first exhibit?
For our first exhibit, we have the artist team Volchek and Heiss, who actually created Face Wall, which is on the facade of the new Arts and Humanities building, and they have created a new project for the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery. And I'd like to introduce Wes Heiss, who is here with us today.
We're very excited to do this project in this new space. We really look at Chico and all the places we go to, trying to find things about the community or the region that seem unique and special. When we came to Chico, we saw all of these agricultural machines that are used to harvest nuts, and we're really fascinated and tried to find a way to make a piece that showed these machines in kind of a new way.
Well, what was that new way, and how did you make it happen?
We started with taking a three-dimensional scan of one of these nut harvesting machines, which gave us a sort of digital model of the machine. Then we took and kind of cleaned up that geometry to give us something that's a pretty accurate representation of that machine. And then we took that clean geometry and distorted it in a way. It's a process called anamorphosis, where you take an object and you warp it so that it's only really clearly visible from one perspective.
You were talking about a kind of magic that you were attempting rather than something that is very literal.
There's something really fantastic about anamorphosis because it takes an object and warps it so you don't recognize it. And that moment when you finally get into the right perfect spot to see it, it's a moment of revelation. It really kind of all falls into focus. And that's kind of fantastic because it might be something that you see all the time and you won't recognize it until that one particular spot.
Wes, you're using some video equipment for this installation.
Yeah, it's actually both a sculpture and a multimedia installation. So one of the things that's tricky about these types of sculptures, these kind of warped objects, is you need to look at them from a very particular spot. And in order to see it from that particular spot, we wanted to give some kind of indication where that spot was. So there's actually a spot in the room where if you stand in the correct place, some videos will project on the wall. And it'll make an animation happen that looks like you're amongst the trees and the nuts and the leaves are falling all around you. So that one special spot not only gives you a visual image of a sculpture, but also an immersive experience as well.
Visitors to the gallery will not only be amazed at what they see, they'll also be able to eat.
Yeah, it's true. Part of the fun of the piece was to find a way to integrate what the machines are for into the piece itself. When you come into this space, you can walk around and kind of look at this sculptural object that is the nut-shaking machine. But you can also come around to the side of it, and there's actually a nutcracker. So there will be free nuts provided that are unshelled, and you can shell them as part of the experience of the piece.
Kelly, I'd like you to give us some details on where the gallery is located and what the hours are.
The gallery is located off of the First Street Promenade in the new Arts and Humanities Building, and we are open Monday through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and on Saturdays from 12 to 4. We have an artist talk scheduled where Marek Valchek will be coming out to speak, and that is on October 13th, which is a Thursday, at 6:30 p.m.
Can you tell the audience why you chose this particular team for your first exhibition?
Many of you may have already seen the new face wall piece that is located on the outside of the new Arts and Humanities Building on 2nd Street. And in doing that process, we had a call out for proposals, and there were four finalists. And Valchek and Heiss were one of those finalists and actually received the commission. Having them do another project that would really involve the community and help us all to reflect on the uniqueness of Chico was an idea that I broached with them, and they accepted. If you're not from this area, you would have no idea what an almond shaker machine looks like. As someone coming in with fresh eyes to find out what are those crazy, weird, curious, unique elements that make our community ours, and then bringing that back to the community and saying, well, let's look at this in a new way. I really thought their proposal to do that was a new way to christen the new space. One of the goals of the University Art Gallery now being located in a place where more people can have access to it is that I want to do greater outreach and do cross-disciplinary exhibitions that really can appeal to someone in engineering, someone in agriculture, someone in the community who has no idea what art is, that there's an inroad for them to understand something and get a new perspective on the world.
Tell us a little bit about that face wall.
Face Wall is combined of 987 profiles of faces that were gathered from community members. Valchek and Heiss came out over a year ago to do some photo sessions where we had photo booths set up at the farmers market and here on campus and invited participants to come in and have their photographs taken. And we had over 1,500 people come out to participate, which was amazing. So the artists were tasked with actually narrowing that down to the number of faces that could fit within the space on the front of the building.
We tried to find a way to, again, reflect the community back and make them kind of a permanent part of the building. There's something really magical about profiles because each one is unique and you think you know what somebody's profile looks like, maybe your husband or wife or your child, but you don't actually look at the side of somebody very often. So they're kind of a tricky, abstract, but very concrete thing at the same time. So we thought that would be a great way of kind of capturing a whole bunch of individuals, inviting them to become part of the building in a permanent way.
Can you give the listeners a mini bio of you and your partner?
Well, I'm Wes Heiss. I teach industrial design at Lehigh University. I'm an associate professor. And my partner, Marek Valchek, is an artist who lives in New York. We're about an hour and a half apart from one another, but we communicate all the time thanks to the internet.
Kelly, can you just run down once more the details on the reception?
The exhibition will be on view through October 15th. We will be having a reception with an artist talk on Thursday, October 13th. The artist talk begins at 6:30 p.m. and the reception is to follow.
In the gallery. takes an empty canvas, sticks it on the wall. Birds of a fella, all the phonies and all of the fakes. While the dealers, they get together, then they decide who gets the breaks and who's gonna be. Gonna be in the gallery. Yeah. In the gallery. In the
Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. And if you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can listen to it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.